This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. A day for transatlantic matters ahead of the big summit. I'm David Brancaccio. The first transatlantic radio communications were Marconi's dots and dashes between Newfoundland, Canada and Cornwall, UK. We're just up the road in Cornwall now. A group of seven leaders are gathering for a summit. It's Joe Biden's first trip abroad as president. Today, the spotlight is again on the transatlantic. The BBC's international business correspondent Theo Leggett joins us. Morning, Theo.
Good morning, David.
You know, toward the end of the Second World War, world leaders, as you know, met in New Hampshire, a hotel in the town of Bretton Woods, to figure out the post-war economy. At this stage in the pandemic, do experts see the seeds of another one of these in Cornwall there?
Well, I think the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson would love that comparison because Winston Churchill, Britain's wartime leader, is known to be one of his heroes, and he likes to compare himself to Winston Churchill whenever he can. In terms of what the G7 are going to try and achieve, and the guest countries, there are four of them as well sitting in on the meetings, it's more about setting out an agenda for recovering from the COVID crisis, and also setting out the stall of the West, the sort of old-fashioned concept of the West, as being the preeminent economic influence on the world in the face of the rise of China. So the ambitions are certainly there to set a new global agenda. Whether we'll get much in the way of detail, that's another question.
All right. And here we are talking on the eve of the formal summit, but we do have a meeting set today between President Biden and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. They're going to be talking transatlantic stuff.
They are indeed. And again, the echoes of World War II are there too, because they're supposed to be signing what they're calling a new Atlantic Charter. Now, the original Atlantic Charter was signed between Roosevelt and Churchill in 1941. What we're going to see here is a commitment to work together to sort of rekindle the old alliance between the UK and the US. They call it the special relationship, and recognise really that there is common ground. So common ground on dealing with COVID, acting urgently on climate change, dealing with the threat posed by cyber attacks, protecting biodiversity, and those kind of issues. And also, on a more sort of close-up level, trying to reopen travel between the UK and the United States as well, because the travel corridor between the US and the UK, it's worth a huge amount of money to both economies. We've had chief executives from the US and the UK holding a big meeting earlier this week to discuss just that issue. So there's a lot at stake there as well. We won't get any sort of precise detail. They're going to set up a working group to try and open up travel between the two countries. But, you know, that's firmly on the agenda as well.
All right. Theo Leggett, the BBC's international business correspondent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
The Consumer Price Index out today shows prices up 5% in the year ending in May, the biggest jump since just before the great 2008 financial crisis. But this covers a distorted pandemic year, and market players seem to be ignoring this on the theory that inflation has an acute, not a chronic problem. The 10-year interest rate is up barely 1.51%. The Dow currently up 242 points, 0.7%. The NASDAQ is up 0.8%. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The company that was building the Keystone XL oil pipeline has canceled the project. President Biden had already revoked the pipeline's Canada to U.S. permit. Keystone is no more. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following this.
That's right, David. The Canadian firm TC Energy says it will unwind the project. The pipeline is already only partially built, despite more than a decade of debate over its fate. Three different presidents have weighed in. President Obama rejected the pipeline. President Trump revived it by granting a permit to cross the border. And President Biden revoked that permit. Now, Canadian officials did try to change Biden's mind. It didn't work. And now the company TC Energy is giving up.
So what happens to the oil that would have flowed through this pipeline?
Indeed, projections were as much as 830,000 barrels of oil per day. And that's Canadian tar sands oil, which would move through Keystone XL, head down to American refineries along the Gulf Coast. Now, that alarmed environmental groups because they point to higher greenhouse gas emissions from tar sands oil. Well, so what happens to that oil now? Now that Keystone XL is no more, analysts say it's actually going to have limited impact, the Keystone's demise, because right now already the U.S. is relying on Canada for more than half of its imported oil. Experts say existing pipelines do have enough capacity to move all of that oil, and they're also expanding pipeline capacity. And projections are that the amount of oil coming from Canada to the U.S. is still going to increase over the next few years.
Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you very much. The thing about fossil fuel is that it is liquid storage for energy, if you think about it. As the world moves toward cleaner power in the face of climate change, there's a need for ways to park energy until it's needed. The global consultancy Wood Mackenzie just released its latest U.S. Energy Storage Monitor report, which finds our ability to store energy is up 2.5 times what it was just a year ago. Marketplace's Andy Uhlerdow on what is a dramatic and significant increase.
Energy storage is a key factor in the U.S. weaning itself off fossil fuels. Many storage platforms allow energy generated from wind turbines and solar panels to be stockpiled for use when demand is high. Chloe Holden is an energy storage research analyst at the consulting firm that wrote the study, Wood Mackenzie. She says, as more utilities invested in wind and solar, storage was bound to boom, even during the pandemic.
The 2021 growth, I wouldn't say it was because 2020 was suppressed, but rather because storage is really becoming a mature industry.
But more than anything, Will Frazier at the National Renewable Energy Lab says the reason for the jump in storage emerging right now is that it's getting cheaper.
Storage is beginning to make sense, and it's going to make sense at a large scale very soon if the cost projections for these different storage technologies continue the way we think they're going to.
He says whether it's lithium batteries or storage directly on the electricity grid, the market in storage right now is ripe for investment. I'm Andy Uhler for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.